Well, it's 4:30 p.m. on Tuesday, 21st of April, up here in Loch Lyon Nairn. We've been away for the best part of the day over the Black Isle, but we've come back and just had our afternoon dinner, if you like. Very modest soup, crusty bread, followed by extra thick apple pie from the House of Brodie and delicious ice cream over the top. Oh, that was lovely. Oh yes. But it's the weather, to be honest, the weather's fantastic. It's been unbelievable today. We saw 19 degrees over in the Black Isle. That's on the open road here at the caravan park, at the holiday park. It's, I guess it's probably 18, 19 degrees if you're in out of the wind. And I'm taking a wee walk up over the dunes to onto the beach just to try and record some sounds. My wife Mary has settled in the caravan after having her dinner, feet up watching NCIS. So she's going to have a wee half hour watching that to let her stomach settle, and I've decided to take a walk over here. So there's so much gorse. I think I failed to mention it in the audio booths that at this time of the year, the hillsides everywhere in this area, not just here but in particular in this area, are covered in yellow from the beautiful gorse. Some of it's broom, but the vast majority, 99% of it is gorse, yellow gorse. There's a big, massive clump here, just before I go up through the sandy path over the dunes. And, of course, gorse, I don't know if you know this, but gorse smells of coconut. Well, at least our gorse does. And it's just blowing and wafting in the air. It's got a close-up smell. Oh, I mean, it's simply gorgeous. And it looks beautiful. And what makes things even nicer is the fact that when you're driving along the roads, you know, you've got fantastic scenery up here. Whether it's over the Moray Firth or the Cromarty Firth or wherever you are, or just, you know, covering the countryside and seeing the hills and mountains to your side. There's so much yellow from the gorse that it's stunning. It brightens the whole area up. Sunshine just makes it glow. Yes, glow. That's a good word. So anyway, I'm just taking a wee walk. Just to try. I've got my binaurals on, as usual. And I've got a wind buff over my ears to try and keep the wind out from these. That's me on the sandy path now that climbs, winds through the tough grass up over the dunes. The dunes are, I probably guess, you know, they vary, but from this edge of the park here, the holiday park, till you meet the beach proper, I guess it's probably about 50 yards, maybe longer, 60 yards, something like that. So they're not narrow dunes, they're actually quite broad. Climb up this wee bit because I want to try and gain some height and get a look right along. But I'll go down out on the beach anyway, and if the tide's in, I can't even see the sea yet. Or I say the sea, it's actually the Moray Firth, but I suppose you could call it sea. No, but I can actually see where this is changing. So either the tide's coming in or it's going out. I can see the what's it called, the white horses, quite a bit out in the water where they break over the shallow sandbanks. These dunes, actually, I think I told a lie about the 60 yards. I think it's much more than 60 yards in depth. So anyway, let's go. Going down now. It's up and down, as you know, in sand dunes. As you can see, a big colourful kite. One of those big banana-shaped kites that people use nowadays to fly from beaches and parks. Somebody's had a campfire here. Yeah, you know, I swore the other day there that I could smell a campfire smoke, and my wife said it was my imagination, but there you go, it wasn't my imagination, because the wind blowing off the sea would have blown the smoke right over where the caravan was, so it was lovely. Yeah, it's right, okay. Oh my god, oh, that's glass. I thought it was an adder. It's a piece of ribbed coloured glass. Right, okay, so now I'm just a bit on the top of the dunes. I should have mentioned in one of my last audio from this morning, that I came out of the caravan about 10:30 last night just to feel the air, as it were, before we went to bed at 11. And I could see the stars, all the stars in the sky. There's very little light pollution here. And although I can see stars from my home, there's still an awful lot of light pollution that ruins it. But here, I could stand and be mesmerised last night for about 10 minutes. Not only was it very, very mild for that time of night because of the good weather, but also the skies were clear and I could see all those beautiful gazillions of stars. Right, I'm standing at the top of the dunes before finally diving down over the next, I'd say probably 20-30 yards to the beach proper. There's a couple down on the beach. He's taking his shirt off. He's got his shorts on, trying to top his tan up. She's not so brave. Well, obviously she wouldn't take her full top off, you know. It's not Spain. But there's a guy down to my left, and he's got a metal detector. I spoke about those the other day. I haven't seen one for a while. And he's got a big metal detector, and he's got this big earphones on, tuning in to the gold, what's it called again? Can't remember, huh? The buildings? That's not the word, is it? Those old gold coins. He's trying to find buried in the sand. Right, so down we go. We've had a great day today so far. We're going to go a walk up the town after I get this wee walk in me to get some rest. Actually, you know, the more I walk along these dunes, as I said, they do vary in depth, that's front to back. I've actually totally misread the whole thing because I have wandered about 100 yards and I'm still crossing dunes before I get to the beach proper. But these are at a lower height. They're obviously doing their job. That grass, I'm in sandals, barefoot sandals, and it's that grass that cut you open to get between your toes. But they're doing their job. Oh, now that's the first time that the sun's actually gone away. It's not going to be completely, it's just it's beginning to get a wee bit more cloudy, high level cloud. And that's the first time I think we've lost the sun today. But that's fine, at 5:20, it's okay. Apologies for wind noise if you're getting it. I'm doing my best with this wind buff to try and keep the wind out. It's not easy, you know. Especially in an open beach. Whoa, feel that. Right, okay, so if I could find a shelter spot. This beach goes for miles, by the way, from the harbour. It goes eastwards, it goes right round in a massive big cove. And when the sun lights up as it is just now in the distance, it looks fantastic. You can see that big colourful banana kite is actually a guy in the water, way in the distance, but I can see that he's got a wetsuit on and it's one of those, the single boards, I guess. By God, is he travelling? That's just incredible. I mean, he's flying across the water. You know, if I was a younger man, I'd love to have taken something like that up because, it's free, isn't it? Well, once you buy the equipment, the wind is free and the sea is free. Right, I'm going up to the shelter now to go and get it off that wind. So, I was trying to tell you exactly what I can see from here. If I get to a shelter, but I'll do that. Let's see. Now I'm walking backwards. I'm not walking backwards. I'm walking back towards where I came from, whence I came. Mr. Metal Detector Man has moved very quickly across the dunes. He's travelled a good couple of hundred yards now. I don't think he's going to find much at that rate, is he? I mean, he's just moving far too fast to find it. Both arms are gone. I think he's actually got two scanners. Anyway. Here we are, at this point, hopefully a bit sheltered. Tell you what I see as I face due north from this beach. I'm looking right over to the Moray Firth, over to the Black Isle. And the Black Isle is sort of a west north from where I'm looking. There's a gap in that faraway land, headland, and on the right hand side of that gap is the mainland from Nigg, heading north out the Moray Firth, ever widening as it goes east. And that gap is the Cromarty Firth. The Cromarty Firth that runs in that gap between those two headlands and away down through past Nigg. I can see actually the warehouses of Nigg just faintly. And turns south in there and goes down towards Invergordon, etc. Where we were the other day there. And today, at that left-hand headland off the Black Isle, right at the point is Cromarty, the little town of Cromarty, where we were today in clear blue sky sunshine. Spent a lot of time there, but that I'll talk about that maybe tomorrow morning. So, as I said, that's what I'm looking at. If I look more northwest, I see the mountains that still have snow. That's the mountains that's way behind the Black Isle, heading over behind Dingwall. And they would, that range of mountains, can't remember the actual range it is now. That goes west away across towards Ullapool on the west coast. And if I look due west, I'm looking back up the Moray Firth towards Inverness and the Keswick Bridge. Where the water goes, at this point it's the Moray Firth, where it goes in below the Keswick Bridge at the right at the east end of Inverness, it changes immediately to the Beauly Firth. At the south tip of that is the town of Beauly, hence the name. So the Moray Firth actually changes name as it passes below the Keswick Bridge to the Beauly Firth. And if I swing a wee bit further west, or I should say west-southwest, yeah, something like that, I'm looking back to Nairn itself, the harbour and the township of Nairn. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful scene. If I were to turn right round and look due east out this east, northeast Aberdeenshire coast, I can't see anything but sand dunes and that big kite in the air. But I would be looking right across to, on the coast at least, towards Findhorn, where the river Findhorn runs out, and also further on to Burghead, and then it would be Lossiemouth after that on the coast. So it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of country that a heck of a lot of Scots people have never even visited once in their life. When you talk about Nairn and Elgin and Inverness, I mean, we know so many people that, because we've spoken about our journeys and travels, and virtually most of the people that we speak to have never ventured this far north. And we're not even at the north of Scotland. We're only at the Moray Firth at this point. The next point up, further up the coast, would be the Dornoch Firth, and then it would be Loch Fleet. And then the next one would be the Pentland Firth, between the north of Scotland and the Orkneys. So we're not even at the north of Scotland. People have never even made it up to this length. Quite a shame, you know, that they don't appreciate this area. There you go, everyone's different, aren't they? So, it's a wee description of where I am and what it's like. There's the sun back out again. I can immediately feel it. Not that it was cold when it was away, but the temperature did drop that wee bit. But now it's back out. You can feel the heat building up instantly. And The water is shimmering, glimmering. When the tide comes back in, one day before we go, hopefully, I'll go down there and take a wee walk along myself and try and capture the waves lapping in. But even just standing here just now, just looking due north, as I said, it's magical. It's a magical area. I know I use that word an awful lot. I know I do. What is magical? There's no magic about it. There's no magic about it. It's a plain hard fact. Scotland's beautiful. Wow. It is indeed. It is indeed. Right, I'm going to head back. I'm getting a wee bit nostalgic now. Oh, man. Going to head back and dicht the sand from my sandals. What was it Jesus said to the apostles if they went to a town that weren't made welcome, to dust the sand from their feet or something like that? Yeah, it was something like that, wasn't it? I'm sure. But I'm not going to do that. I'm just dicting the sand off before I go into the caravan. And we're going to get I'll have a quick cup of tea for Mary, and then we'll go a wee walk up the toon, up through there. And then I think we're coming back, and then I think we're going to take a run back up to Cawdor. That's Cawdor, all one word, Cawdor. Cawdor Castle. We're not going into the castle. I've done that years ago. We're just going to Cawdor. It's a beautiful little village. I'm not sure it's a village. Doesn't it have to have a church? Well, I think it does have a church. It's attached to the castle. But anyway, it's a tiny, tiny little it's not Victorian. What's it called? Anyway, it's a historic village. It's stunning with its old age beauty. Beautiful old cottages with stone walls and flowers growing out of the walls, and this wee bowling green and the burn or the stream running down through from the castle. Oh my goodness me. So, there you go. So we'll take a run up there and maybe go in for a cold drink into the beautiful Cawdor bar restaurant up there. I'll read a wee bit. There's a plaque here, if you don't mind, if you want to hang on for a wee bit. There's a plaque here about sand dune life. These fragile yet hardy habitats are created from wind-blowing dry sand from open shores inland. Constantly shifting sand ridges are stabilised by the plant marram grass, which grows up through the build-up of rotting seaweed and sand. This hardy plant thrives on being covered in sand, throwing out extensive root systems. Its ability to curl up and retain water helps it grow rapidly. As sand traps in the roots, it starts to build the dunes, this area being called the four dunes. Once marram grass stabilises the four dunes, many other plants start to grow. These include sea holly, sea spurge and sand sedge, all waxy plants that can retain water well. On the beach in front of the dunes is the strand line, the area above the high tide line. Plants growing here include sea rocket, scarlet pimpernel and sea beet. All these plants are low growing, so aren't exposed to the drying effects of the wind, again helping retain moisture. Behind the four dunes, the dry dunes are home to many plants like vipers, bugloss, pyramidical orchid, primrose and sea bindweed. These attract a vast amount of insects and butterflies, as do the plants in the dune turf further back, like kidney vetch, rest harrow and thyme. Many animals, reptiles and birds make the sand dunes their homes, like foxes, stoats, weasels, adders, sand and... You know, I mentioned adders, didn't I? Sand and common lizards, ring plovers, meadow pipits and oyster catchers. Yes, and it depicts a lot of pictures. One of them in a sort of a balloon next to a rabbit. Says, did you know rabbits play a big part in dune life, enriching the ground with their droppings and feeding on certain plants, keeping them under control? There you go. So rabbits aren't a pest here. They're actually welcomed. By the way, where I'm standing, there's about 10 rabbit burrows in front of me. All digging, disappearing into the sand dunes. So there you go. A wee bit of geography, if you like, and maybe a wee bit of geology of the area. And no, well, little seagull sounds. We have had some other bird sound, which is now stopped. That is lovely. Right, okay, so I best head back before Mary. Oh, wait a minute. Where am I? Well, I'm down here. Almost lost my number. It's a problem if you wander too far and come back up the wrong path from the dunes, you end up at the totally wrong part of the caravan park. And then you have to just search by number. Almost like painting, paint by number, but it's not. Anyway, back. Get away again. It's been a great holiday. We have, what day is this, Tuesday? We have one day left after today. Heading home on Thursday morning. It should be Friday morning, but we've got an appointment, a venue to go to on Friday night. It's also our anniversary, so we want to get back a day early. So that's what we're doing. We're doing that. Going back on Thursday morning. So after today, we'll have one day left. And if the weather keeps up, well, I think it'll be a 5-star calming, chill out, relaxing break. Truly grateful. Truly grateful. Right. Number 81. That's us. Number 81. Cheery by the now.